Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. So from an astrophysics point of view, what exactly are the aurora?
So the sun's always, it gives off light, but it also gives off lots of charged particles into space. We think of this as solar wind. And sometimes it has these sort of big bursts of energy it blows off into space and these flares. Well, when this energy comes to the Earth, we've got a magnetic field around the Earth, right? So it gets channeled in towards the poles in general. And with this energy sort of hits the oxygen and the nitrogen molecules and stuff in the atmosphere, it excites those atoms, those molecules, and gives off light. And that's what we see as the aurora. So it makes these big sort of rings around the poles.
Yeah.
That's where we tend to see these auroral zones.
I guess if you've ever done the like iron filings with a magnet kind of thing, it's like the points where it all gathers around the ends is about the same effect as the aurora has, as I understand it.
Yeah, it's sort of like a big ring. It's not at the poles, it's sort of around the poles.
Mm.
So in the northern hemisphere, you'd see it like Scandinavia, Alaska, Siberia, northern Canada, Greenland, Iceland kind of areas. In the southern hemisphere, it's pretty much like right at the coast of Antarctica up into the southern sea.
Yeah, so aurora takes its name from the Roman goddess of the dawn, but Aboriginal Australians have usually associated the phenomenon with fire. How do different clans explain the southern lights in their culture?
Well, I've had some elders talk about a few different ones. You know, you see the aurora really most of the southern part of the continent. You know, you see it down in Noongar country of Perth, going down through Adelaide and Victoria. You can even see it up in Sydney. But what's curious is sometimes there are records of traditions that go up like Pitjantjatjara, like up near Uluru, in the southern part of the Northern Territory and even southwestern Queensland. And in some of the Pitjantjatjara traditions, they talked about basically somebody broke a taboo by killing and eating an emu they weren't supposed to, and that sort of was seen as flames in the far south that served as a warning to newer generations to follow those traditional laws.
So how do Aboriginal traditions differ from other Indigenous people in places that can see the northern lights, like Canada, Norway, Alaska, and more?
Well, it's kind of interesting. There are some Inuit communities up in like Canada, Greenland, Alaska, places like that, that see it a bit more of like a game. It's actually ancestors playing a kind of a football game in the sky, as it were. But what you see in those areas, the lights are more green, these really spectacular curtains and sheets you can see. But from down in Australia, the auroral zone is really far south. It's down, between Australia and Antarctica.
Mm.
So what happens is the really green light tends to come from more nitrogen. That's lower in the atmosphere. But higher in the atmosphere, you get more oxygen molecules. And when it excites the oxygen, it gives off more red light. So from Australia, what you see, the color, usually it's white, but if you see the color of the aurora, it tends to be red.
Mm.
And this sort of links in with these ideas about it being blood or fire or things of that nature that are related to redness.
Yeah, I remember the first time I was ever lucky enough to see it. It kind of reminded me of a colored version of what it looks like to look at Sydney Airport from off in the distance, the way that it just glows on the horizon.
Oh, exactly right. There are traditions from Sydney that talk about that sort of red glow in the south, and it's quite remarkable. I mean, I've learned from elders about this. I've written papers about it. I've never actually seen one, and hopefully I'm going to in a couple of weeks because we're doing a special aurora flight where we actually get on an airplane and we fly down south towards Antarctica, right through the auroral zone, and then fly back. It's like a 14-hour flight. I'm hoping that we'll get to see one. On there as one of the lead astronomers, and I've really got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. Could you talk a bit more about that project? Why are we so interested in finding more about these aurora, and how often are they visible?
Well, I mean, aurora is just one of those things. I mean, like I said, I've never seen one, but I've seen the images, I've seen the video, and this is one of those. I've had colleagues and friends who've seen them, they say you'll never see something like this. Like,
yeah,
it's breathtaking. It's almost like a spiritual experience. And this is even talking to other astrophysicists. But they're more common during solar maxima. So when you see more sunspots, then the sun becomes more active. There's a lot of physics behind it. But we're actually in a solar minima right now, but we're seeing some more activity. So we're really hoping we're going to see more of this. But there's sort of like some really cool new research coming out of this, and it's based on traditional knowledge.
Mm.
And one of that is a lot of Indigenous cultures around the world, First Nations cultures, Aboriginal cultures, talk about how Aurora makes a sound.
No.
Like a crackling sound or people snapping their fingers or crinkling, you know, like paper or something.
Yeah.
And Western science has been like, what are you talking about? This isn't right. And they're actually doing research into it and being like, actually, you're onto something, and it might be electrophonic. So this is one of those great ways that traditional knowledge, which has been there for a long time, is informing Western science and guiding Western science and saying, hey, pay attention, try to understand this phenomena. And now we've got people working in solar physics that are actually making some progress, trying to learn about how sound comes from aurora.
Yeah, I mean, as an audio nerd myself and a space nerd, that sounds absolutely phenomenal, and I'm so excited to hear more of that research as it progresses. Thank you so much for joining us here on Tuesday Drive this afternoon. It's been so good speaking with you.
Oh, thanks for having me.